Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Joint Accessibility Working Group Technology Task Force call on the 8th of September 2014. On the call today, we have Glenn McKnight, Gordon Shilcott, Devon Antaluxing, Jolly McPhee, Sylvia Herline, Ginella Astring, Yasuchi Kitamura, and Judith Hellestein. We have guest speakers today. We have Patricia Graves, President of Caption First, the captioner from Caption First, Heather, and equally the technician, Brian. So welcome to the call. We have an apology from Olivier Crepin-Lebon. From staff, we have Josh Bosch, Sylvie Vanko, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is Dev Anand speaking. And just as a reminder to everyone, when they speak, especially for any transcript purposes, after the call, if you could, you know, say your name just before you speak. So just to repeat my reminder, this is David Antaluxing, the chair of the technology at large technology task force call, and today we are looking, and this is a joint call between the technology task force and the at large accessibility working group. Both of these working groups are now on this call are going to be looking at the captioning tools for Adobe Connect. Glenn McKnight, who has been an active member of both the accessibility and the technology task force call, has been very involved in putting this together. So, Glenn, I think I'll turn the floor to you and to do the introductions for the two demonstrations. Glenn,
great. To you. Thank you so much. It's Glenn McKnight, and as Dev has mentioned, I sit on both committees, and what we have is at our last accessibility committee, we were talking about different technologies, and it was only natural that we look at how the technology task force can look at conferencing in more detail in terms of accessibility, and it's something we've been looking at to a degree with our technical task force calls, and each time we have a call, we look at a new tool. So today is exciting because we have both groups on the same call, and people who are on the call that are on the accessibility committee include Ginella, Jolly, myself, and Judith, which bridge at this stage both committees. So I'd like to introduce our presenters today. We're going to have Brian and Pat. They're going to go through the system, so I will turn over to Pat immediately so we can get going. Thank you.
This is Pat Graves, and I thank you very much. I just put up a really quick goal slide for this demo. My name is, as I said, Patricia Graves. I'm the president of Caption First, and we've got our one of our technicians and one of our captioners online with us. So that is the Caption First team right now. A bit of history, a one-minute history. We have been in business for 25 years plus, and we have been serving internationally for 4 or 5 years now. We do the ITU. We work with WIPO. We work with a lot of different UN agencies. And so we do have a great familiarity with the overseas work that's going on with regard to internet governance. And so what we're going to do for this pod is the Adobe Connect has a captioning pod, and it's a nice pod. It works well. Caption First, we felt that it wasn't working exactly as well as we wanted it to, so we helped in developing another pod, and so we call that the Caption Stream pod. And what I'd like to do for this demo is to put them side by side and let you see the differences, and then you can choose for yourself which pod you want to use. So for the Caption Stream pod, what I'm going to do is our technician, Brian, has created a quick PowerPoint for the Caption Stream pod, which is our pod. And he's going to go through that PowerPoint very quickly, and it will be just showing you how easily it can be loaded by the moderator and then accessed by the captioner. And then once we go through the PowerPoint, then Brian will actually load the pod and let you see the text flowing. So, Brian, if you wouldn't mind going through the PowerPoint, that'd be great.
Certainly, Pat. Thank you. Okay, so the pod itself is fairly easy to use. It loads just like, for moderators that are familiar, it loads just like any other pod would. It loads very similar to a PowerPoint. So just like PowerPoints, you go to Pod, Share, Add New Share, and then you select Browse Your Computer. But instead of picking a PowerPoint, you would just pick the Catch and Stream Pod or the Adobe Pod, and it loads up the same, and the window resizes just like you're used to as a presenter or moderator. One thing to note about the Caption Pod.
I'm sorry. So this is Pat. Let me pop in here. Brian and I are having. So what Brian prepared was actually. He didn't prepare slides for the loading of the pod, and that is my mistake. I apologize for that. And so what we're going to do is, Brian, I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and load the pod, and then we'll just go ahead and talk through it. So my apologies for that. So, Brian, if you could just go ahead and load the Caption First pod, the Caption Stream pod, that'd be great.
Okay, I can certainly do that. Grab the pod here.
And so go ahead and talk through, Brian, anything special that you're doing as you load that.
Just like I said before, I'm clicking on Pods, Share, Add New Share, and then I selected Browse My Computer. And I loaded it, and like I said, it loads up very similar to how a PowerPoint would load.
Okay. And now would you mind, Brian, putting Heather into this also now?
I certainly can.
And go ahead and talk through a little bit what you're doing with that.
Okay, so for this pod, the captioner actually needs to be promoted to host status, otherwise they do not have access to the configuration area. And then once they are loaded into the meeting, they know how to configure the pod. So it takes just a few moments for them to do that, which is actually what I'm doing right now. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'll just kind of reconfigure the windows here a little bit for the pod. Like the other pods, you can see you can change the size of it,
and
move it around.
I just want to check in to make sure that the captioner is captioning right now, so that we can see the text flowing. So is the captioner pulled into it yet?
Yes, that should be the case. Let me just double check here. I'm going to stand here.
Well, this is very odd. So it seems like it is rolling what she what she wrote previously.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that people are okay. are seeing the text, and I am actually seeing the text also. So, Brian, we're going to do a little bit of a ping-pong back and forth. And so what I want to do is check in with everyone on the call to make sure that you are seeing the text flowing. And if you could just give me a little yes or no, that would be great.
Yes, we are seeing it.
Okay, great. So let me just talk through this just a little bit. On the left-hand side, you can see where it says white. And Brian, if you would, everyone can click that drop-down arrow in that white box, and I ask you to scroll down a little bit and go to blue. And so what you'll see is the blue, it'll be a blue background with yellow text. And we have this for accessibility purposes because different people have different eyesight needs. We have found that the blue and yellow is very good for eyesight. It's easy on the eyes, a little bit easier than black and white. The next box over, it says 12-point. Again, that is a font size that each individual consumer can change. 12-point generally is what people seem to present with, and that works out very well. The next box over at this point says Tahoma. And again, that's just the font type, and that can be changed. We suggest that you use a true font because then the letters are spaced properly and they do not overlap. And the final drop-down box is for different languages. And we can set this up ahead of time, but we could actually use a Google Translate type feature. And the English text that's flowing would then be translated into another language. I cannot verify the quality of that machine translation, but it is an option that is available to have the machine translated into another language. Any questions on these few formatting buttons?
I don't seem to have auto-scrolling. I keep having to manually scroll down. I don't know if I hit something. Oh, I see auto-scroll is switched off. Oh, yeah. Now I see that.
Okay. So go ahead and check that and make sure that...
And then what are the two boxes on the far left next to the color selection?
Brian?
Oh, change the appearance.
If you click on those, you can see it'll change when you put on the modern view. It'll put bubbles around the text, which denotes each change of speaker or each set of chevrons, and it kind of gives it an appearance kind of like a text you'd receive on an iPhone. So for people that were more comfortable with that type of setting, you could also change it that way.
And what does save do?
Save will actually save the transcript if it's enabled. It gives you the option of saving it as a text document, an HTML document, or a PDF. So if you click on the Save button, you can see that it has three options, and then you just select one and click Save. And once you're done, you're welcome. And in the event that you need more area to view the text, once you're done changing the foreground and background color and the font size and the fonts, as you can kind of see very small on the slide here, there is a small arrow button in the middle. If you click that, it collapses the configuration area so you have more room for the captions, and that just toggles as a show hide.
And this is Pat. So if everyone can do that, I would just want to make sure that you're all able to collapse the formatting. And then if you click that arrow again, the formatting will come back. Everyone good on that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That is, and the PowerPoint that Brian was showing in the background also highlighted everything that we just talked about, just for your information on that. So if there's, and what I want you to notice on the caption stream pod is that the text goes fully from left to right. And Brian, would you mind changing the configuration of the caption stream pod and make it a little bit more narrow of a column, just to show that this pod
Sure.
can be placed anywhere and any configuration, and the text will wrap dynamically with it. Okay, and I guess I have to keep talking so that we actually see the text flowing. But what you can see is that it has changed. Brian can move it. Can you elongate it, Brian, a little bit, even if it goes up and over the PowerPoint a little bit? And what this shows you is that you can change the pod to fit your presentation, your Adobe meeting, and that the text will continually wrap with it. Excellent. Okay. If there are no other questions about the look and feel of the caption stream pod, then what I'm going to ask you to do, Brian, is to elongate it again and put it back to where we initially had it. And then, Brian, if you could load the other pod and get Heather into both pods, and then we'll just have them side by side or one on top of the other. So this might take a minute, and I will... be quiet, and we will just kind of see Brian doing his job. Well, I said I would be quiet. Here I am talking, but you can see that this says Adobe Connect. It's AC9, which is tells you that's the Adobe Connect version 9 pod, and that's how you can tell the difference between the two.
Okay. This is Dave.
Yes.
Hi, Pat. Yes. Thanks. I just realized that perhaps I'm not seeing the chat because I noticed there's been several questions. So I thought I'll just intervene and ask those questions to you while the second part is coming up. Josh from ICANN staff is asking, is there a related URL for users who may not have access to Adobe Connect? So in a situation where I want to display this text on a screen separately?
Yes, there is. There absolutely is. And when Brian gets this set up and I see text flowing, I might just ask Brian to go grab the URL. But yes, there is a URL that can be text only.
I see. So this is Dave again. So just to follow up. So then, in fact, what could happen is that for persons who are unable, well, because Adobe Connect is a kind of bandwidth intensive. You do need bandwidth really to use Adobe Connect effectively. We could direct persons who have low bandwidth to follow the transcript only and that URL, I presume, will be a text-only stream, so to speak, and therefore they could follow that. Okay, so that's interesting.
Actually,
that's interesting. Go on.
Correct. And actually, Brian, just put that into the chat box. It disappeared, but...
Okay, we can see it. We can scroll up and see it. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. That's also one more question. I see also, because I don't want to lose all these questions. I think Murray was asking several questions related to how languages are handled. Murray, are you able to take the floor or to ask those questions? I see Murray is typing.
He says it's Glenn. It's no voice. But he did type his question in the chat box.
Okay. This is Dave. I'll ask the questions on behalf of Murray McCurcher. So Murray was asking the questions regarding if I am supporting three languages, how would translation work? And I do understand Google Translate is not perfect. So would live translation be on, like, say, three different channels?
This is Pat. And Brian, I see the text flowing in both, so thank you. So if you could help me out on this technical question with regards to, I think what happens is if someone chooses another language, rather than it showing up in English, as we would see right now in the caption stream pod, it would just show up into another language. Now, we have to set that beforehand, as I understand that. Is that right, Brian?
We do, but I can actually, I think if I just kind of redo our event, which would make the text stop flowing, I think I can actually just reload this in probably less than a minute and
okay.
See if I can get that feature to activate.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's exactly okay. Right. It comes down, like Pat was saying, in a drop-down. So.
Okay. And you know, Dave, I really appreciate you repeating these questions because they're kind of going by me. I personally have a different accessibility on my screen, and so I have a tendency to not see the chat fully. So I appreciate you repeating these questions.
Okay.
Were there any others that I missed?
Marie had a follow-up comment in the chat, which was like, also, for Chinese translation, can captioning go from right to left?
This is Pat. I don't know if we have Chinese up there. I know that they had Korean as one of the options, and I'm not sure. I think it actually still went left to right, but I'd have to check that with the Google Translate.
Okay. So, all right. And this is Dave. And this is, I guess, my question now after seeing this. And I must say, this looks very. It's quite exciting to see this happening, a captioning happening in real time in a Adobe Connect session during a call. So this is going to a transcriber hearing this. Just to confirm, the fourth drop down in the caption feed stream pod, which says English right now, and I know it's being added, another language is being added. Is it that part regarding drop-down, is it Google Translate that will then be taking over to do that machine translation being done there, or is it, being sent to another interpreter to do the captioning?
This is Pat. So what is happening is the Google Translate is actually taking our English and translating it from text to text. Where we translate from audio into written text, the Google Translate goes from text to text. So there will be an inherent delay. But it still will, it should be pretty fast.
Right, and I see.
But there inherently will be a little bit of a delay.
Okay, and this is Dave again. So while Brian is reloading the caption stream pod as we speak, is it that I guess we'll see it when we see it when it's loaded up. That
sure.
You would see that it's some sort of that this is a machine translated version.
It's going to be text. Let me. I'm kind of Brian. How are we doing on that? Is that going to work out?
I am actually working on that right now.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll put my hand down because I see now the second part is up and running. And so I don't know, Pat, if you want to take over again and just explain what is happening on the closed captioning SWF part on top and what's the difference between that one and this one. And I'll put my hand
down.
Okay.
And what I don't know, mine is kind of grayed out. I don't know, my whole screen is grayed out. Is anyone having that also?
It's working for me. This is Jolly. It's working for me, and I'm seeing it in French.
And you're seeing it in French. Isn't that Okay, I just clicked something. So now we have three pods
okay,
going. This is quite, this is definitely quite the experience. Yeah, Brian just told me to click OK. And so we are, what we are experiencing is just the three different pods. Let me, I'm going to drop down to another language and see what that looks like. There you go. So that's the machine translation. And as I view it, it looks like the machine translation is coming up sentence by sentence. And I think because machine translation does the ending punctuation, that's how it translates, as opposed to it flowing word by word. So I'm going to go back to English because that's my first language. And so I just want to point out just a few more things, if that's okay, Dave.
I have a question right now, Mr. Jolly. So, I mean, right now we're looking at 189 and one caption stream pod. So can we run more than one caption stream pod so that we have English and other? I mean, it's good
so
now we can see English and the language, but do we have to use the 189 if we want to run two pods?
You know, that's a question I'm going to ask Brian. So, Brian, the question is, could we load two pods and both of them take our streaming text, and it looks like you're trying to do it now.
I'm at.
Brian's,
yep,
all,
exactly.
Brian's all over this. And so it's looking like the answer is yes. You could load two caption stream pods and then have one for another language and one for English. And as soon as I...
So again, you could set the default in which language shows up first so that you could actually set it up to have the translation running automatically. So you could, say, have an English and a French running simultaneously and set that up without people having to interact.
Right, and it's
exactly.
Really... It's, go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, so instead of having the drop-down you would for the machine translation... you just have the two different pods with the languages in it. So actually, we actually have three pods now. We have the default Adobe pod up top, and then I'm going to move the second caption stream pod and kind of cover it up, and now we have the two caption stream pods.
And then one of them, someone, and again, this is if you're showing it in the room, but then you could have the two languages shown. And that's how I'm understanding this. And I just clicked on French, and now I see the French machine language translation coming up.
Hi, it's Murray speaking. Right. Can you hear me?
Yes, Murray, we hear you fine.
Thanks, Ed. I've got, this is great stuff, so congratulations, everyone. I have the German on the top, French in the middle, and English chat on the bottom, which is great. I'm thinking that if I'm doing this in a live space that I could move, if I was shooting multiple screens, I could move some of these pods onto other screens, so you'd have, it starts to get a little bit busy, but... assuming that's the way that one would do it. Jolly, maybe you can make some suggestions about how you, if I had multiple screens, I'd move things over. Thanks.
You know, I'm on three screens, but I don't see that the user has any facility within Adobe Connect to actually adjust screens. It all seems to be at the discretion of the host.
This true. I think the host needs to be aware of both the bandwidth of the end users or the customers, as well as just how busy the screen gets. But at the moment, the way you've set up the screen by default, is working for me. And, of course, you can adjust it yourself.
Well, this is Dave. Just to intervene, that it really is up to the host.
Is there,
to, set up the layout of the Adobe Connect room. It's not given to participants as such. It's the host that sets out the layout for the participants to, well, view and interact with. That's my intervention.
It is responsive. This is Jolly. It is responsive so that you can narrow it or widen it or everything and it'll keep going. What I'm wondering is now, any individual pod, you can take it and make it full screen. So say one wanted to like take your two cat pods, English and French, say, and make them both into full screen so that one could then project them at an event on a screen. You have a problem. You basically have to set up a different screen for each language. You wouldn't be able to like share a screen just with the two languages because without having other stuff that happens on the, I guess if you disappeared every other pod, you could do it, you know, as a host, but it wouldn't work. You take my point, it wouldn't work for people online then. Say, you know, when you come to the event, you want to just, I know the answer is you'd go to the URL. So it comes to the question, would there be a URL for the translations as well as for the original pod?
Pat, Brian, I don't really know that answer. Would there be a separate URL for the in stream text for the translation?
The way it's set up, it actually all just runs through the one link.
A way to actually throw up two translations onto one screen.
Now this is getting into an area that I've kind of experimented with more than actually done, but the SWFs, the flash files, in theory I have had some luck loading them outside of Adobe. So they like open up, I'm actually doing it right now, it's kind of opening up in Internet Explorer.
I see.
But it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, it's not really the best way to do it because it kind of really depends on a lot. So I don't know that it's something I'd actually recommend doing. For the English though, we do just the one thing that's tested, tried and true that we do know works is the. The separate URL right here.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that would be in the native language of the transcriber. So I know for that link, it doesn't actually pass through the various machine translations.
Well, this is Dave. Thanks, Brian. I just want to take some questions here, and I also noticed that Judith had her hand raised. So, Judith, you have the floor?
Judith Hellstein for the record. I don't know if you can hear me. They're doing fire alarm testings right now in my building, so hopefully it won't be too disappointing. But I also, there was a bunch of questions. I had a question is that I know Pat had discussed that you could have a Spanish captioner as well. Could we have two captioners on the call? Like, is it possible to have an English captioner at the same time as a Spanish captioner? And then how would that work? Would they be in separate rooms? And I was wondering if Pat could discuss this, because I know she said something about that earlier.
And this is... So that the answer is, if we have a Spanish real-time captioner, that real-time captioner has got to... has got to hear Spanish. So therefore, in this process, if we called in on this phone bridge, you would have to have a Spanish interpreter in the middle translating it and giving the Spanish to the Spanish captioner. But in that case, then the Spanish would be, the Spanish captions would be most likely a higher quality than what Google Translate is able to do.
Right. And so
and this is Brian,
we could.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to. So, I guess the follow-up question is, if you since the calls are usually translated into different languages, and I'm assuming, but I guess Sylvia and others can tell me, that then each captioner would be on that call with that interpreter. So they would be hearing from the interpreter who would be translating the call and then captioning. Would the captioning be on the main list, or would, how would that work?
This is Pat. Brian, I think the answer is we would have to set up different pods for each
right.
language.
Right. As Josh mentioned, Josh mentioned earlier, we set it up so they would in fact have since there are two actual captioners, we do similar to what we're doing here, and we load the two separate pods. And the Spanish and the English captions would have separate outside URLs, as Josh was saying. So in addition to the pod, if you wanted to show those two languages in a room and they're not machine translated, we would have separate URLs similar to this one, one for each language. So then you could actually use those to display it up on a screen in a room, for example.
And this is Pat. And I we are English-based. We do have a couple Spanish real-time captioners who listen to Spanish and write in Spanish. We have less access to real-time captioners in French. And we have a company that we work with for example, Korean, but we have not worked with them in many years now. So the languages get less and less as the capabilities get less and less for real time as opposed to the machine translation. And I cannot tell how good the machine translation is. So if someone is bilingual and wants to check the machine translation, I would love to have that input.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Dave. Thanks, Pat. Judith, does that answer all your questions? I still see your hand raised.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't take the hand down.
Okay, thank you.
But one other question. Wait a minute, Judith.
Okay,
there was also questions on the web, and I know Pat could answer them, which we didn't get a chance to do, to explain why in the Adobe Caption Pod it comes in short paragraphs and why in the caption stream it's the full sentences. And I know Pat has the answer to that because she discussed it earlier.
And thank you, Judith. This is Pat. Yes, the difference between the two is pretty startling in my mind. So the Adobe Pod, the Adobe Captioning Pod, is based on the broadcast captioning standards, which is 32 characters for a line length, and it comes up one line at a time, as opposed to the Caption Stream Pod, which you can see comes up one word at a time, and it is a dynamic feed, and it can go the entire width of the pod. And so if you put them side by side, they were pretty startling. Now, I just saw it. Could you just kind of keep that like that, Brian, just for a couple minutes? And you can see when I speak longer sentences, it just continues on, and it's a nice continual stream from left to right, where the Adobe Pod is truncated. No matter how big you make the screen, the line length will only be 32 characters, and you can see it comes up in my mind, a not pleasing manner, the way it's displayed.
Okay. Okay. Okay, this is Dave. Thanks for that explanation. And thanks, Judith, for asking that, because I was trying to understand why that was happening. So you've answered that question. I see Jolie and then Glenn. Go ahead. Jolie, let's see.
I love the Google Translate function. I wonder if you'll be rolling this out, so this will be available on all Caption First offerings at all other events.
This is Pat. It would just be a question, just a request from the client, whoever is using this. So, and I just want to make sure, if we were doing just straight without Adobe, we also can do the, Brian is writing to me right now on IM, and he is saying that these translations only happen through Adobe. If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to write a little note and just double check that. So the answer is, at this point, we believe it's only through Adobe that we can get the other translations, but I'm going to double check on that.
And yet we're seeing it on the URL too. We see it on the URL, on the separate URL.
Okay. Brian?
Okay. I stand corrected then. I see it as well now that I look.
Okay, I kind of thought so. So the answer is yes, we can do these other translations.
Yep.
Yeah. But you do have to tell us ahead of time, and there is a charge that our streaming company charges us because they are getting charged by Google. But it is a possibility. It's not a perfect accessibility answer because it is machine translation, but machines are getting smarter every day.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Joel. This is David Ann. Yeah, thanks, Pat, and thanks, Julie, for the question. Glenn, your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Dev. This is fantastic stuff. But I've seen a lot of comments by Josh, and I just wanted to invite Josh to the dialogue, because he's had a number of questions and comments throughout the thread here. I wonder if he has audio, if he can address some of the issues from his point of view.
Glenn, this is Nathalie from Stas. Josh is on listen only for the duration of the call. He can write but not talk.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Natalie. Okay, in that case, I guess you'll have to just direct his comments directly. I'd like to ask a question to the team. As we move forward on this, did you guys do a white paper or any other written material that the team here can actually make use of? Thank you.
This is Pat. Is that directed to the Caption First side or?
On both ends.
And this is Pat. Unfortunately, we do not have a white paper, but I am seeing the need for such a thing. But no, the answer is no, I don't have a white paper. I can go back to the company who does the streaming and see if they have created a white paper.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave and Ann again. Just a question. I'm now looking at, this is a question for me. I'm looking at the Adobe Connect 9's closed captioning pod, and I noticed it has one feature it has, seems to have, is the ability to, things like the ability to rewind and fast forward and so forth. But I don't see that. I guess I'm now looking at it on the Captions First pod, and I guess you just have to scroll at the right-hand side. Is that correct? To scroll back up to the entire length of the conversation.
Well, you can also do that. This is Brian. But if you click in the Find feature and you happen to remember a word of a section you wanted to look at, if you type that in, for instance, if I type in the, it will bring up several results that you can choose from, and it stops the auto-scrolling, and if you click on one of those, it'll actually take you to that section of the transcript.
I see.
So instead of scrolling up and down, it has a pretty nice find feature.
Okay, that could be. This is Dave. Well, I'm now just realized the find feature. Actually, that's also would be pretty useful, I must say. Okay. This is Dave. Glenn, you have your hand raised?
No, thank you. I'll take it down.
Okay. This is Dave. And then another question that comes to my mind, since you have some time, just a few more minutes. The Google Translate link for the fourth drop-down, where you had these four languages, is it that you could have added things like Spanish and Portuguese to these? Because, for Latin American and Caribbean, Spanish and Portuguese are more common languages. So I was just curious, is it that you could add any language to this, to the drop-down?
Most languages... Oh, sorry. This is Brian.
No, go ahead, Brian.
It does have most languages. For example, like I could have added Croatian or Czech, Danish, Dutch, Greek. It has Irish, Indonesian. So it does have. It does have Spanish, for example. It has Russian, Turkish, Yiddish. It's got quite a few languages that we can choose. It has Welsh and Vietnamese. I'm actually looking at a list of, if I had to guess, it's got to be over 70 languages that it can actually go into.
Okay, this is Dave. Another question that comes to my mind. How does this work with... Hold on one very quick second, I'm sorry.
And this is Pat. I'm going ahead and reading this. It is not a per... Let me... You know, I lost that question.
Yeah, it's from Josh. He asked for pricing. So there is a cost for streaming per minute plus the cost of the captioneer. So how much would an hour call cost in approximate? That's from Josh from staff.
Okay. And so in when we're streaming English, and as Judith wrote, we have quoted you $130 an hour for streaming the English. And if there is another language being translated, then it's a cost per minute. And honestly, I haven't checked to see what the streaming company is going to charge me, and so I can't even come up with a price. My gut feeling is it's going to be somewhere, you know, in the range of an extra 25 to 30 cents per minute, because I think that's how Google translates. But if it's okay, I have to get back to you, because we've actually never used this feature with a client.
Mm-hmm.
That's how cutting edge this is.
Okay. Thanks. This is Dave. I'm sorry for that. I probably would have to leave the call very soon. Yeah. But one very quick question. I was just wanted, does this work on the mobile apps? I mean, so if you're using, somebody's using the Adobe Connect mobile app for iPhone or Android, would this caption stream work? Or is this only going to work with desktop computers with Adobe Flash installed?
This is Pat. This works on all kinds of mobile devices, and it works on phones. I would not put Adobe onto a phone, but if you just want to take the URL with just the streaming text, it works on all kinds of mobile devices. And Judith, I also saw that you had a note of if we had a real-time captioner in another language. that cost goes up to $165 an hour because the other languages, frankly, charge us more to do their work than English.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I guess the question I have for you is, since you have Spanish people on staff, if we had an English person and a Spanish person transcribing at the same time through the different language channels, would that be a 260 or would that be the 165, or what's the difference between a machine and a human?
The difference between a human is if we had two humans, one taking a Spanish translation and one hearing English, your cost is going to be $295 because our Spanish is $165. If you had a machine doing it, and even at the worst case, if we had a Spanish machine doing it, then it's going to be, you know, you would add in the $130, and then let's say 30 cents a minute, so then another $180. So it just adds up. It just adds up for the other languages being translated, whether it's live or not.
Thanks.
Okay, this is Dave. I think I'm not seeing any more questions. I must say this is a very interesting demonstration. Pat, Brian, any final thoughts or comments?
No, I really do appreciate you allowing us to do this demo. I don't know if any of you were just in Istanbul for the IGF conference, but we ran that conference, and almost all of the rooms were done remotely. So we know that it can work around the world successfully.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is David Ann. I think
I just have a question.
Very quickly.
This is Jolly about Istanbul. Have they contracted for finished transcripts and all of that, or are we just going to have raw for the future?
No, the finished transcripts are due to you on the 15th of, or due to them on the 15th of September. So we have a couple of days to get the finished done.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for all your work. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and Pat, this is Judith Helsing. Could you also talk, I know Pat also talked about there's a fee about having the raw getting transcripts produced from the captions, and she may want to just briefly go over that.
Sure. If someone wanted to just get the raw transcript without us having edited it, that is free. We really do not like raw files posted because we've not had time to go through them and fix any spellings or any names or anything like that. But we understand that organizations need to do reports and they need to plan for the next day, and that is just a tool for them. And so we gladly give out the raw files to the organizers. Again, we ask them not to post it. And then afterwards, the finished edited file comes through, and that would be for posting. And there is a fee for that. It's a flat hourly fee per hour of writing. Does that answer, Judith? Is that what you needed?
Right. Yeah. And I remember you had also quoted a fee for that, so that's why. And then you also said that you could do them rush if people wanted them rush and not and normal time period, and there was different fees. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that.
Right. There are different fees, and it's just manpower. It you know, if we ask someone to work for 5 hours and then produce that transcript. It's just time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Indeed.
The transcripts are like $20 an hour. It's not that, you know, for a 3-day delivery, a little bit more if you want it immediately.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Pat. This is Devanand again. Okay, I see nobody other hands here, and it is coming up to the top of the hour. I'd like to thank Pat Graves and Brian. Didn't catch your last name. And head of the captioner for this very interesting and, I would say, exciting demonstration of the caption stream pod. It's something that I think that we really will be discussing for how could this be used for at ICANN at large. Okay, with that, I would like, again, thank you all. I would like to thank the persons who attended this call, and this call is now adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good afternoon, good evening, good day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.